Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
One thing's for sure, when you've got plants, you've got to water. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we're taking a question from AL in Hyattsville, Maryland, who submitted this question online at wglt.org/grow. AL writes, once you've planted all your summer flowers and mulched, what's the best way to keep the plants watered? And goes on to say, I find that the water only penetrates the top layer of the mulch and doesn't seem to get down to the roots of the flowers.
Oh, no. Okay. No,
not good.
So in reference to the question, there's one thing I've picked up, and I think I'm picking up from this question too, is there's different kinds of mulch, right? So there's stone and gravel mulches, you know, decorative stones and gravels.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of the rest of the mulch that's out there for us is a byproduct of trees. It's bark mulch or it's pine straw or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the nuggets or coarse mulch, it can have a plating or planking effect as it covers our landscape and garden areas. So if you get the coarser mulch, the small pieces, they decompose and break down quickly with sunlight, air, and water.
Mm-hmm.
But the smaller pieces, they kind of lay like, if you can imagine, like popsicle sticks or, you know, Lincoln log roof sections or just little flat things that lay down there, that they actually do kind of shield the ground from water a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They'll force the water to shed off to the edges or find some other spot to infiltrate. But that might be what is going on with this person that has a difficult time watering with their mulch. It could be the type of mulch. This oftentimes happens too, Laura, in cases where people have mulched a landscape bed and they've had some success and they haven't had to do much after they've landscaped it and covered the bare earth with mulch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you scratch away that coarse mulch, you'll find that's dusty type soil residues right below it, and then the original earth is below that. So I would recommend to somebody that has this situation to scratch up or refresh or rejuvenate your mulch by agitating it. You can agitate it by hand if it's a small area, or you could use a garden hook or a steel rake.
Or you could stand in the yard and go, nah, 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 nah.
You know what? I've never tried that, but man, I am going to try. I think that would be a blast. As an agitator in chief, I think that'd be a great thing to do. Make mulch feel worthless as it can be at times. That's always a benefit. But hey, there's some other stuff related to the question and watering that I think would be good for everyone to consider.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the main thing for those of us that live here in the Midwest and most gardens worldwide. There's one thing that all plants have in common. They take the roots, the water up through their roots.
Right.
You know, there are a few plants that have specialized structures that they can hold water and absorb it that way. Some bromeliads are that way, you know, the pitcher plant, which is a kind of a insect-eating plant. They can absorb nutrients through their little pitcher-shaped flower.
Cool.
But pretty much everything else, the water is absorbed by the roots.
Right.
So, you know, I can think of times when you might ask your niece or your nephew to help you out with watering chores on, you know, they're over your house during summer vacation, and you notice they've given the landscape a very nice shower.
Mm-hmm.
They've washed all the leaves off, and they've washed all the flowers off. And
I'm so glad those roses aren't dusty anymore.
You still got to pay the kids for the time and doing the watering, but they might not have been as effective.
They kind of missed the mark.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So having said that, the water should be applied as close to the soil as possible.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, it's Watering Plants 101. Get it near the roots.
And we're talking about, you know, hand watering in most cases would afford you the opportunity to apply the water to the roots. So if you had a big pot of flowers, a big bunch of petunias that were just abundant and flowing out of the top of a container, you would benefit from either using your water wand to push some of the foliage and flowers aside,
mm-hmm.
or use your hand rather than to soak the whole thing down. Now, if you do that, if you do soak the whole plant down, there's no crime. Grow Corporate's not going to come looking for you. But what you should know is you could be introducing other problems. And one of the main problems that occurs is weight is added to the end of the plant.
Uh-huh.
So if it has a big snowball type flower like you might find with the hydrangea or viburnum,
yeah,
that flower is going to hold a bunch of water and fall over.
Yeah.
And then the inside of the plant is exposed to air and sunshine, and your watering has taken everything and kind of turned it upside down. You've not given the plant the water where it needs it, which is at the roots, and instead you've caused the plant to kind of change its position as it relates to sun and shade and things like that. So that's like the one key thing that I think everyone should know, is that the roots take up the water, and otherwise you're just giving the plants a bath. So, but do you have a sprinkler? Do you use a sprinkler?
I have a couple of different sprinklers. One that goes, you know, the fan that goes side to side, and they also have the one that sort of spins around.
Oh, the Whirly Bird.
Is the Whirly Bird, which one's better?
Well, it's one we haven't discussed yet as far as watering the ground. It's the that's an oscillating impact sprinkler. Yes. And a lot of gardeners have old ones made out of brass and lead that they've kept for a long time. And other metal ones that were part of golf course turf management. But again, that's another case where the sprinkler that keeps the water closest to the ground is the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
The fan ones are great to run through when you put your swimsuit on.
You can even
hold a glass of tea or
whiskey.
Right. Just
try not to get any water in that
just
whiskey.
Just tipping right through there. That can mellow it down a little bit. But a lot of that water is lost to evaporation before it ever gets there. You know. So if it's a windy day, they lack precision. And the oscillating impact sprinklers, they water on segments of a circle, you know, so like a piece of a pie or the whole pie, because they run in a circle. But they throw that water down close to the ground, so you lose less of it that way. And they also have these little boundary guides on there, so you can have the water focused on the areas where it's needed and keep it off the sidewalk or off the front porch or something like that.
Oh, good point. You know, I do have one quick question. Do you have a favorite kind of mulch that makes watering easy?
I like any mulch that is sifted, that has the smaller pieces.
Okay.
And, you know, bark mulch a lot of times has less of those planks in there, ground bark mulch.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the wood or fibrous type mulches are excellent mulches, but they require that agitation at the end of their life cycle or their usefulness. You definitely want to do that before you apply new mulch on top of that old flat smashed down mulch.
Good point. So if you're going to maybe do some mulching for the fall, you need to agitate to begin with.
You need to scratch it up. But there's, if we can, on the watering, there's no substitute for watering. Now, people say, what about rainfall? It's got to pour.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to pour for hours and hours to substitute a watering of, say, a new lawn or new landscaping. There is an antidesiccant product called Wilt Proof. There's that one by name. It comes in other names. And there are also soils with soil conditioners that hold water. They can help you with your battle to maintain proper irrigation of your planting areas, but it is no substitute for watering.
Okay, Merv, thank you so much for the Watering 101. And AL, good luck with your flowers and your mulch this summer. Next week, Karen in Bloomington needs advice on trimming yews and boxwood. So we're going to be talking about that. Yeah, next week on GLT's Grow. If you've got a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there. You fill that along and send it along to us, and maybe Murph will choose your question to answer on the air. But first of all, you've got to submit the question. Just go to our website. It's wglt.org/grow.